Good morning, good evening, my brothers and sisters in the auditorium, and to those of us watching or listening on the social media, I wish you a good evening as well. You are welcome to today's service. Last Tuesday, Brother Olumide Daramola took us, and there was a passage that he dwelt on a little that caught my attention. And I'm going to start my ministration from that today. And that is from Joshua 1, verse 8. It reads, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Which means, this word of God, you should speak it. Word of God, you should share it. To the extent that you should not cease in speaking it. It should not depart from your mouth. Then it said, "But you shall meditate in it day and night." So it is not only for you to share, to speak it, but you also have to meditate on it. You have to think deeply about it. You have to reflect about it, because it's that reflection of the word that would make a meaning in your mind. It will give you a meaning, a new meaning, a different meaning, a unique meaning. You'll be able to appreciate what the word is saying when you think deeply about it, when you reflect on it. So he says you should do that day and night. Say that you may observe to do according to all that is in it, that you may observe. So meditation enables you, it empowers you, it motivates you to observe what is written in it. Because when you have a deep understanding of what you are reading, you thought through it, you identify with it, you appreciate it, then there's something in you that wants to make you to observe the words. Then it now says, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So you've spoken the word, you've meditated deeply, you've observed all, not some, that is written in it. So then you are the one that will determine your success. You are the one that will determine your breakthrough. God has done His own by giving you guidelines, directions, instructions. Meditate on it. Obey it. And success is yours. Meditation on the word enables you to observe what is written in it. It enables you. It enables you. Let's take, for instance, Psalm 84, verse 11. Let's put it in practice a little. Psalm 84, verse 11. It says, "For the Lord is a sun and shield." The Lord gives favor and honor. And no good will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. You've spoken the word. Now let's meditate on it a bit. What does it bring to you? What does it elicit in your mind? The God, our Lord, is a sun. What does the sun do? The sun maybe lights your path, gives you light. It illuminates the darkness. It helps you to get a direction of where you're going. A shield protects you from harm, protects you from danger. And it says, the Lord gives favor and honor. Certainly that means like God has abundance of honor, abundance of favor with Him. All He wants to do is to give it, give it, give it. As you reflect on that, you say, okay, yes, God has and He wants to give. But then it says, that no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That means the person that is not walking uprightly should expect that things will be withheld from him. And the person that is walking uprightly, you know that the door is open for you. Nothing will be withheld from you. So as you reflect on that, you know, I said that meditation enables you to observe. As you reflect on that, you meditate on that, there's a conclusion. If I want to be a beneficiary of all that God has in store, the goodness, the favor, the shield, everything, that means I need to walk uprightly. That means my decisions, my choices will be made in a way that it will be an upright decision. So that is how meditation motivates you to walk, to choose. Meditation triggers obedience to the word, and it reveals to us the benefits of obedience. This evening I'll be speaking about obedience, as you could have deduced. Obedience. The first commandment directed at a person in the Bible is in Genesis 2, 16 to 7, when God spoke to Adam and he said, of all the trees in the garden, you can eat, except for this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God set a limitation. And he said that, in the day you eat it, you shall die. In life, in a nation, in establishment, in every aspect of life, there are limitations. Things that you are not to do. There are rules. There are expectations. So also is it with God. God expects some standards from us. So God gave Adam a limitation. But Adam failed. In Genesis 3, verses 1 to 20, we saw how Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Let me read just a few of those verses. Genesis 3, and I read from verse 1. It says, now, cunning, serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves covering. First, a tempter shows up. A tempter shows up. The serpent. If you look at that verse 5, verse 5. For God knows, he said, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Is that a fact? Can I say no, though? Is it true? Anyway, let me save you. It is true. It is very true. So the tempter came, he gave a fact. Period. Let me prove it. One, the eyes will be opened, right? The eyes were open. In that same reading I made, verse 7, the eyes of both of them were opened. And then he said, and God knowing good and okay, I said, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. If we flip to Genesis 3, verse 22, it says, then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So, the tempter came and gave a fact. Gave a fact. The next thing he did is that he made it attractive. And that's usually the way the thing works. Disobedience. Something becomes attractive for you to choose. Verse 6 says, so the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Who doesn't want to be wise? Something is there, and it will make you wise. Why not? The wrongs we do all the time are not out of our ignorance. We know what God expects of us. But unfortunately, a negative voice comes. We give it attention. It brings up the attractiveness of that act of disobedience. Then you rationalize it. And then you choose to disobey. The thing is, we can always find excuses for our disobedience. And really, if you, any man hears of the excuses, they might want to identify with your excuses. That makes sense to them. But to God, it is disobedience. I think about the situation of King Saul in the Bible, really, and its rationale. And honestly speaking, I personally empathize with him. What I want you to do now is to put yourself in the position of King Saul for a moment. Just act. He was given an assignment by God to go and destroy a nation, the Amalekites. The Amalekites. He did some things, but he didn't complete the job. One, he did not kill the king of Amalek, Agag. Why? I really don't know. But the thing is, he showed mercy on that king. He has killed all his army and all that, so the likelihood of him coming up and fight again, you know, so it's rendered him powerless. So he showed mercy. Think about it. Are we not supposed to be showing mercy? So really, 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 if you think about it, it's not too bad. Second thing, put yourself in this position. You have all the fatted calves there. The fatted cows, sheep, everything, animals, the good ones. The weak ones, you destroyed. Out of those fatted cows, that is what you're supposed to sacrifice to God now, to please God. Apart from the sacrifice, he's the leader of a nation. They have to feed. So why not keep the good sheep to reproduce, to eat, to increase your assets and all that? Why not? It makes some sense. The last point that I want you to consider is this. In 1 Samuel 15:24, King Saul said, one of the reasons why he did what he did. I feared the people and obeyed their voice. You can look at it from different perspectives. In management, in leadership, we learn as a leader, you listen, give your followers some attention too. Listen to what they have to say. Get ideas from them. So, it's not that he did something too terrible here. He listened to them. He gave them audience. And I guess the audience was more in a way that the voices that are saying, do this, were more than his own single voice. So it's like, okay, maybe I'm wrong. It makes sense to do all this. Okay, let me concede. Let's look at the situation of our nation right now too. Many people are saying this and this and this and that, and the president said maybe the opposite. So if you put yourself in the position of Saul, you realize that it makes sense to a normal person. It's something that many of us would have done, probably. So we can rationalize disobedience as much as we want. But as long as it is contrary to the word or instructions of God, it is totally, simply disobedience. Period. So Saul got specific instructions from God, but he failed. Proverbs 3, from verse 5 to 8, reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Don't depend on your own understanding. Put your trust in God. He will speak to you. Believe Him. Don't rely on your own intellect only. Lean not on your own understanding. It says, "All your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." I like this verse 7. It says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes." Don't be wise in your own eyes. When God says you should do something, and you do something else, that shows you are superior. You are wiser. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Who are you to obey? You obey God. You obey God through what God says in the Bible. The Bible contains a lot of instructions from God. In fact, I try to imagine at times, you don't really need to hear any audible sound or anything. This one is even the Lord itself. You follow all these instructions, you are okay. So meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. Who do you obey? You obey the Holy Spirit. That personal prompting to do a good deed, to bless somebody. That personal prompting to let go of that argument. Of course, you must have read or heard about people, two people arguing, maybe publicly or whatever, and then you see the other person pick up a bottle, break it, pierce it in the eye or the body of the other person, and that one's gone. You hear of people fighting on the street, and someone puts hand in his pocket out of anger, brings out a ring, hits the other person dies. But that Holy Spirit will tell you, no, let it go. But we try at times, we'll fight it. So we hear from the Holy Spirit. He prompts us to forgive. It prompts us to take a particular step or not to make that choice. It tells you, it is not right. Don't do it. It is not good. Don't do it. It will cause you trouble. Many times we listen, but oftentimes we give attention to the other voice instead. That other voice. There's always another voice. Some years back, I was looking for to recruit some people. And there was this lady that came for an interview with me. So we interviewed and all that for a while. She was qualified and seemed okay. And I said, okay, I'll get back to you if there's anything to share with you. But right there, as she was leaving, the Holy Spirit said, no, don't. It was so clear. So what I did, I kept the papers. I put it away. Normally, if somebody was okay, I was comfortable during that meeting, I would have known and then taken the next step. But I said no. So I put it aside. A day or two after, a lady that had worked with me called me. She had worked with me before and called, MD, you are looking for people now? So. There's this other person that I know. I've asked her to see you. Try to see her. She's very good. I said, what's her name? Mention the name. I've seen her already. That there's something, I'm not too comfortable with her, really. I'm not too comfortable. To cut the story short, I changed my mind. I recruited her. And after a period of time, I paid the price of that recruitment error. There is punishment for disobedience. There is punishment. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, but there is punishment. Many years back, I was working in Victoria Island, and I was living in Yaba, and there was a friend of mine, we were working together, and anytime we work late, which is almost every day, he takes a ride with me because I had a car then. 8 o'clock, 7, 9. So there was a particular day, well, for a period of time, anytime we go home, maybe for some weeks, there was always a heavy traffic on the third mainland, joining Abba Macaulay. Before you get to Abba Macaulay, well ahead, traffic. And he knew me that I was always like, just go, I have to go. You just have to go that straight road. So one particular day, he said, Wale, this is traffic. We can't go to this traffic again today, but let's just see everybody making a U-turn on the highway, you know, and joining the oncoming traffic. Unfortunately, I was in a good place where I can do that too. I said, okay, let's just do it. And I did, turn back, face the highway, face the oncoming traffic, like a few other people. So we got to the junction of Abba Macaulay on Third Mainland. And one by one, the cars that also did the same thing, broke the law like we did, they joined the traffic and go. But like 3 cars before ours, just saw some policemen coming. It was like 8, 9, I don't know. They come in. The first one went into the first car, second car, third one into my car. Ooh. Oh my God, why? So they said, drive on to that police station that they used to take fella every time. Panty, right? So we went up in Panty. We sat down on a bench. The distance between where I was sitting and the gate to the cell was like between me and the microphone or this speaker. One by one, the people before me, they call them, disappear. And I kept seeing, at least I know I saw one of them in the cell. All of a sudden. And all those guys in the cell were just trying to... I said, yeah, I'm going to hang up here today. So they told my friend, you are not the one driving. So just say, wow. I don't know if I was praying or if I wasn't praying, or if I was just living in fear. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, after a little while, my friend came to me. I said, I don't have money with him. He said, he didn't have money with him. That, do I have money? I said, yes, so. So I gave him the money. And he paid the policeman, and I left. The bottom line is that I didn't obey. I didn't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit right from the onset. A voice came, an encouraging voice that usually comes to defray you, to confuse you. And like I said, you pay the price. He said that I end up behind the bar with that unfortunate man, or I have to pay the bribe. There is a cost to disobedience. You see, as long as you are a child of God, God will speak to you. It will always be something that is good for you. Don't justify the opposite. Don't reason it out. Just obey. I pray that the Lord will direct you away from accepting the counsel of the second voice every time in Jesus' name. Who else do you obey? You obey your pastor. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. So obey the pastor. Obey. Obey the government. Obey the law. If you disobey the law, be ready for punishment. That's the thing. Until the law is amended, you are supposed to obey the law or face consequences. Now, let me talk briefly about consequences of disobedience, because my time is far gone. Deuteronomy 28. I read verse 15 about consequences of disobedience. Moses was telling his people that, says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Let me spare you all the curses, because you don't want to be hearing it. So many, all the way from 16, 17 to verse 68, curses. For disobedience. There is punishment for disobedience. Think about it. How can you continue to disobey God and be blessed? That will make God a liar and an unjust God. How can he be blessing the disobedient at the same time blessing the obedient? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. There has to be an incentive to be obedient. The thing is, even with the consequences that we know of, why don't we obey always? I just mentioned 2 points now. One, I call it temporary insanity. I don't know if that is admissible in court in Nigeria. Temporary insanity. When you know something is wrong, and you still do it. The insanity defense is an excuse in a criminal case, arguing that the defendant is not responsible for their actions due to an episodic or persistent psychiatric disease at the time of the criminal act. Meaning, there was a mental defect at that time the criminal act occurred, and that this defect affected the defendant's ability to differentiate between right and wrong. So something has to be wrong, really. You know? So any time we disobey God, we know those times. It is temporary insanity, I'm telling the truth. I pray that it will not be a permanent insanity. Why don't we obey always? At times we don't do the right thing because we think we could escape the consequences. I can think of a situation whereby you go to the hospital, you do the diagnostics, and they tell you that you have high cholesterol level, and this thing could trigger stroke. And meanwhile, you go ahead, you like yam and eggs. Every morning you eat yam and eggs, fried eggs, 3 eggs. Oh. And you think you will escape the consequences. And God will help you. Me, I like yam and eggs. I don't eat 3 eggs. I eat 4 eggs. But the thing is this. I remove all the yolks. Because it's inside the yolks that all the cholesterol is in. So we need wisdom. So if you know something can happen, you think you can escape consequences, don't try to think you can escape consequences. Proverbs 3:7 says that, do not be wise in your own eyes. That is the problem we have most of the time. So those who obey God, we know about Abraham. Genesis 12:1. The thing about Abraham is that God said, go out of your country, leave your people, go to a place that he's never even been to. He obeyed. He trusted God, and he was rewarded appropriately throughout his lifetime. The thing about Isaac, God said, do not go down to Egypt. To one, he said, go somewhere. The other one said, do not go down, stay where you are. Don't go to Egypt. Stay where you are in Gerar, where there's famine, no. Meanwhile, that's the country everybody is running out of, trying to get out to Egypt. But God said, stay where you are. And did God not prosper him? God prospered him. In that land, he sowed, and he reaped 100-fold, you know. When the Bible says, in that land, it's like emphasizing that in that same land that had challenges, somebody still tried. Somebody still tried. So relocating to Canada, relocating to the US, relocating to which other country, UK, is not for everyone. If God says, go, like he told Abraham, go. If God says, stay, like he told Isaac, stay. Wherever God sends you, he will prosper you. For me, Nigeria is my home. I love Nigeria. I'm proud of Nigeria. Anytime I show the green card, people feel, I'm okay with it. Thank God I didn't commit any crime. So I'm okay with it. I'm confident in Nigeria, really. Many years back, I went to study abroad. I came back after my studies. In 1995, while I was still working here, after coming back, in the early days of visa lottery, I won the lottery. But I did not take it seriously because I wasn't too much interested in going back to live there. So I left the thing until it expired. It was the last minute when my wife was pressurizing me. By that time, the thing had expired. No regrets. I'm supposed to be living in Nigeria. I was telling my wife like sometimes a month back that I remember my grandmother, when I was a kid, between eight to ten, around that period, I was my grandmother's favorite, my father's mother. She used to live with us. In fact, my father's friends called me Okoyeye, you know, so close. And my mother, every morning when I go greet her, as is customarily, she would give me all the orikis and all that. And she will say something that, over a period of time, I forgot, until just months back, I told my wife, you know, my grandmother used to say this. She would say it in a Ileoluji dialect. You will go abroad and come back. You will go abroad and come back. And I did. I did come back. But then there was something else she added, she used to add, but which didn't happen. She said, you will go abroad and come back and you bring a car. When I came back, I didn't bring a car. Meanwhile, this woman had died maybe when I was in Form 1 or so, you can imagine. As a matter of fact, when I came back to the country, I served in Lorient and I worked there. There was another Wale too. He studied in the Philippines. He came back too. And they would differentiate us. The Wale that came with the car, the Wale that didn't come with the car. But that didn't bother me. I am here. I'm in Nigeria. So wherever God says you should go or stay, God will cause you to prosper. In Deuteronomy 28:1-14, which I won't read, which we know of, which is the opposite of the curses of disobedience. You had all the benefits of obedience. The summary of it, if you read it properly, 28 to, from verse 1 to 14, it talks about health benefits. It talks about economic benefits. It talks about protection from danger, protection from enemies, spiritual benefits, God positioning you higher, God putting a mark of a difference on you, and then making you a blessing to others. So there are good things from obeying God. And in closing, let me quickly read this 1 Kings 8:33-36. This was Solomon praying at the dedication of the temple. I just had this again when we were leaving church on Sunday on my CD. And I told my wife, okay, please let me write where that place is again, you know. So I got home, I went through it again. And it says, when your people, Solomon praying now, say, when your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land which you have given to your people as an inheritance. Solomon was anticipating. It's a likelihood that you would disobey. We talk about disobedience and obedience today, right now. What is the likelihood that in the next minute you won't disobey in one way or the other? So Solomon was praying for people here, for the people here, that God, it says, when Israel is defeated by an enemy, why would they be defeated by an enemy? He said, because they have sinned against you. He said, when heavens are shut, why? Because they have sinned against you. So calamity, things can happen because we sin against God. So we should pray now that when this happens, the Lord will stir your heart to come back closely, quickly to Him and forgive you and straighten your way. Praise the Lord.
Please, can we rise up to pray the prayer that Brother Wale just raised? I want us to just... If you're outside, please come in. Men executive, you are at the entrance of the door. Come in. Who is the other person? Is that Tunde Ayinde? Please, I want us to look at the prayer that Brother Wale just raised. I'll be honest with you. If you are supposed to mark iniquity, who shall do what? Can we look up to God this evening and say, God, please have mercy on us on all fronts? God just wants a contrite. It's He knows. There can be mistakes, so just take it from me. Let's just pray to God tonight. God, please. Wherever, whatever. Just have mercy on me, O God, please. The mercy of God will triumph in our lives over judgment. That will be merciful to us in our iniquities and our sins. And I want us to just be serious when we pray. Man, God is merciful. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please let me read this scripture to you before you sit down. Now look at, people talk about David and Saul. But the difference between David and Saul is all this thing that we are talking about. Just as somebody understand the fact that David will come to God. God, you know the way you have created me. From my mother's womb. From everything. He will see everything. And God will say, this boy has come again. Look at what Saul said to Samuel. And, you know, Samuel was telling him, 1 Samuel 15:20. And Samuel said, and the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. This one is a specific instruction from God. It's not a question of you have a dream. No, this one is God. I want you to go and do this for me, for God. Specific instruction. It's not a question of, it is my dream, it is my desire. I want him. This one is God. Kule, go and do this for me. This is a specific instruction, and I've equipped you to do it. I made you a king. I needed to get this done. So go and do it. Verse 23, look at what revelation that Samuel gave gave Saul. And you may not even know. He said, for rebellion is at the sin of witchcraft. Can you imagine? Now, witchcraft and rebellion, they say they are the same. Who knows that before? And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry before God. To be stubborn. I won't take it. I can't take it. I won't do it. I won't do anything. There's nothing. He says it's like idolatry before God. I want us to pray tonight that God will have mercy on us. Can you imagine idolatry? I've never worshipped idol. But he said the sin of stubbornness is the same. No, I don't worship idol. No. I don't practice witchcraft. He said rebellion is the same. Can we begin to appreciate God tonight for what we've heard tonight? That is why there is forgiveness in God. Or else, Father, we thank you tonight for what we've heard. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. I want us to pray for Nigerians tonight. Nigerians, not Nigerian. Nigerians, the people of this great country. I read from Hebrews 10:35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence. It is obvious when you go on social media and everywhere, people are losing confidence. Even in everything. By virtue of people are sowing seed of fear, that everything you read is taken. People are discouraged. They are despondent. He said, cast not away your confidence. I want us to pray to God Almighty that confidence will not cease in this land in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about confidence in God. If you don't pray, I will not release you tonight. And you know I'm your pastor, and you cannot arrest me. If you don't pray, I say, I want us to pray. Confidence will not cease in Nigeria. This is our country. Nobody can take over our country from us. We cannot be saying some people are more powerful than us. We cannot be saying it. It is lack of confidence. It is throwing the towel. We cannot do it. Nigeria belongs to us. It did not belong to people from Mali. No, or not from Niger. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please pray this prayer. See, anybody that is not a Nigerian, even that are troubling us, let's begin to cast them away in the name of Jesus. Every alien in Nigeria, I don't know which they are. Please pray this prayer, I'm telling you. I want us to begin to cast them in the name of Jesus. Every alien, everybody from Niger, from Chad, from everywhere that have come to Nigeria to disturb our peace, let's begin to cast them in the name of Jesus. anywhere they are in Nigeria, in the northwest, in the northeast, in the southwest, in the southeast, in the middle belt, let's begin to cast them out of this nation. We have an authority. Don't ever forget that we are Nigerian. We have authority. As Nigerians, we are children of the living God. I want us to cast them out of this land in the name of Jesus. How can they become terror to us in our land? And we can pray. He said, I've given you authority. I've given you authority. I've given you authority. He knows that today we will need the authority as Nigerians. I want us to cast them away in the name of Jesus. You will not prosper in Nigeria. It is not possible. Nigeria is not your country. It is our country. You will take over which country? It is not possible. You cannot take over our country. You cannot come and overrun us. It is not possible. It will not be possible in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I want us to pray. Every evil spirit behind it, let's begin to bind those spirits in the name of Jesus. Every evil spirit. You see, please take authority. Every evil spirit behind these people. Yes, let's begin to take authority over them in the name of Jesus. This is our country. It is our country. It is. We will leave the country for our children in the name of Jesus. We will not be displaced. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Please, please, please and please. Don't be afraid. Because fear has torment. Don't be afraid. And please, don't ever stop saying the right thing. When they are staying, casting down, what do you say? Yes, don't ever. Please, let's be voicing. When they say this will happen, we say this will not happen. Because you know what happened. Anything can happen. Remember the whole army of Israel. They were afraid. Only one boy that had confidence was able to defeat the enemy. They have chocolated people's heart in Nigeria. Not your heart, though. That's what they want to do. That is the best form of warfare. When they have dealt with you, you are afraid, you can't do anything. It will not happen in Nigeria. I say it is well with Nigeria. In the name of Jesus. Nigeria is safe. Nigerians are safe and secured. In the name of Jesus. No evil will befall us. No plague will come near our dwelling place. God gave us a country. This country will stand. In the name of Jesus. Our economy will go in the name of Jesus. Every evil voice, evil ganging together against Nigeria, they will fall for our sake in the name of Jesus. Every evil ganging together will enter the ground for us in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.